Hey, good evening, and I couldn't have picked. I want to thank Place Kumpet Svoy Rakhsanya, Avrami Bergman, for inviting me to be here tonight. That can be a sheer, for two reasons. Number one, because it's really impossible to encompass all the halachas that goes into a sacred teretzon and mezuzahs in one sheer. And the second reason is because I'm really not a speaker, so it's going to be kind of like a question-answer schmooze, okay? So we'll make it happen tonight. But I would like to start about the importance of checking mezuzahs. I don't know if you are aware, but the Gemara in Yuma, Daf Yud Beis, and the Gemara says that a mezuzah is checked as pamayim b'shavua. You're supposed to check a mezuzah twice in the Shemitah year. It basically comes out every 3-4 years. And, I've come across many, many different types of scenarios. I'm sure you probably have heard about people that, typical, a guy has a problem with chavayis, with his gezunt, with his panosa, with shiduchim. So, the Rav says, check the mezuzahs, and then he has a problem with his heart, and he finds a problem with levavecha. Common things like that. Levalecht chavaderach, a person has a problem with his foot, he finds a crack in the ice. So, it's connected, it's not connected. I want to tell you like this, that, very often I have people, I'm doing this about 35 years, I have people come into me, and it's kind of, I'm a last resort. In other words, the guy Nebuch has all types of tsaras. Marriage is no good, and problems with the children, and shaduchim, and parnasa, and he tried everything, says, you know what, we'll check the mezuzahs, maybe I'll find something. The mindset of some people is they're hoping that I'm going to find something, right? And then let's say I find a problem with my sister, oh, this is the problem, and I can continue my merry life the way I've lived, no problem. Me and the Lord, we're doing great, okay? But you see, there's tayag mitzvahs. It's not just the mezuzah. There's a lot more to Yiddishkeit than just checking the mezuzah. And I'm not trying to minimize the chshivas of the mezuzah. I mean, the Torah brings down that hazor b'mitzvah mezuzah is zaycha to many, many great things. The pasuk says, "Aman yirbu yameichem." You want to have a long life, you want to have a successful life with gezunt, with panasa, you have to be zoyer b'mitzvah. Zoyer in the mitzvah mezuzah. What does it mean to be zoyer in the mitzvah mezuzah? What it means is that you really have to, first of all, understand what the purpose of a mezuzah is, and that is Yichud Hashem. You walk into a door, it's not stam a door, this is a Yiddish house, okay? But more important than that is there's so many halachas that goes into writing a mezuzah. Obviously, I brought with me here a little album, you can pass it around. This is something that in my days when I used to teach Shabbos in Camp Aguda, so I made it up then at that time. Some of the things that I come across, like printed mezuzahs, mezuzahs that have been burned by the sun. If you want, you can pass it around and make yourself Hamish. If you want, you can take a look. No problem. But anyway, I'll tell you a story and I'll see how astute. I want to see, yes.
Why is mezuzah different than like tefillin? Unless something happens.
That's a very good question. And the dark, what he's really asking is that why is there a halacha that you have to check mezuzahs and there's a halacha that you don't have to check tefillin? I don't know if you're aware. That's not really good for my panasa, but lamaisa, the mechaber paskin from the Siman Lama tested last sif that tefillin shehuchzuka bekashrus. If tefillin has a cheskus kashrus, you never have to check the tefillin. So his question is, what's the difference? Why tefillin the ikar adin? You don't have to check that. I mean, the Mishnah Berurah says that you should check the tefillin also because of sweat, but you're talking about mitzvah halacha. Why don't you have to check tefillin? What's the difference in mezuzah and tefillin? So the Darkei Moshe says because mezuzahs are really more the godly than tefillin. In other words, parshas are inside the batim. Okay, so what can happen to them? A mezuzah doesn't have to be in a case. As a matter of fact, the Gemara in Yuma that says mezuzah has to be checked twice in 7 years is a very interesting Rashi that explains two reasons why you have to check the mezuzah. One reason, Zok Rashi, is because Shema Yignevu. That maybe the mezuzah is not there. So according to that reason, you don't really have to check the mezuzah, you don't have to check the oisis, you just have to peek inside and make sure that there's a mezuzah there. Another thing you see is that there was a problem of Geneva at the time of the Gemara also, so Mishkanai Zach. But anyway, that's one reason why you have to check your mezuzah. The other reason Rashi says is because shema nirkavu, that there's a problem of rotting, the letters rotting. They say over in the name of Shlomo Zalman Erbach, that's out, that you, b'zman hazeh, you don't have to check your mezuzahs. I never heard it from him. I think I may have come across it in one of the Likud Svarim, so you have to know if it's taka true or not. But the Svara is the following. In the olden days, I believe that a lot of the mezuzahs were actually, they actually scratched out, like you see today, you go to Yerushalayim, you see in the old city, you see these big, thick walls, right? They actually dig into the mezuzahs, abayis. They dig into the doorpost, and then they put the cloth right in there. So you have these houses that are made from wood, and the wood is rotting, and that rot could seep into the mezuzah. So therefore, Rashi gives a reason, shema nirkavu. So that would answer your question. You understand that a mezuzah tefillin is something which is inside the batim, so the chances of something going wrong. But there's another thing that you have to be careful with tefillin, and that is that the mechaber that says you don't have to check your tefillin is only talking about if you have a cheskas kashrus. Now, what does it mean, a cheskas kashrus? You know, people use it very, very loosely. You know, you figure you pick up a pair of tefillin, bus can shine zayin, okay? There's a million and one things that could go wrong. We'll try to give some examples of that. But I want to tell you a story. I want to see how astute the Olam really is. This is a Rav calls me up, somebody that I know, and he says one of his members has a problem. The wife was actually calling him up. She's crying. Her husband is an alcoholic, and they tried rehabilitation. They tried Alcoholics Anonymous. They tried everything. Segunish Geholfen. So what happens? The Rav calls me up and says, do me a favor. He knows me. He says, check the mezuzahs. Maybe you'll find something. You never know. And I was nishtoymeh, mamish. I couldn't believe it. And instead of laman tizkeru, it's laman tishkeru. Unbelievable story. So what's wrong with the story? Anybody? Okay, that's
future tense.
Very simple. A mezuzah has in the two parshas Shema v'Hayim Shemaya. Uman Tizkru is in the third parsha of Yoyim, which is not in the mezuzah. Okay, it's a cipher joke. I had to. But anyway, so let's talk about hiddur. You know, today we're living in a world of hiddurim. Okay, we use the word hiddur very loosely. What does it mean, hiddur? So first and foremost, it means the dikto kaksav. And I'll give you some examples. The smallest letter in the Aleph Beis is letter Yud, right? Now, there is a certain shear to every ois. You know, the Beis Yosef, in Tur Beis Yosef, in Siman Lamed Vav, he goes through the entire Aleph Beis three times. The first time he quotes from a Rishon, which is called the Baruch Sha'amar, and it's word for word from the Baruch Sha'amar. In fact, the Mishnah HaSoifrim, the Mishnah Brewer in Siman Lamed Vav, he has the sefer that he compiled about all the Tzuras Oisiyas, called the Mishnah HaSoifrim. That's the part that everybody skips. That's only for Soifrim, right? So he goes through the entire Aleph Beis, and basically it's word for word, like the Beis Yosef quotes from the Baruch Sha'amar. The sefer Baruch Sha'amar, and in the sefer Baruch Sha'amar, he has in the back six Rishonim, called the Alpha Basis. There's Alpha Basis. Rishon, Sheni, Shlishi, Vi, Chamishi, and Shishi. The first three deal with the halachic aspect of Tzuras Oisis. The fourth one is called the Alpha Basis HaKulmasin. Anybody know what a kulmas is? Kulmas is the quill, the feather that's used. Right? Now there's a certain width to the tip that you're writing with. Right? Obviously when the cipher is writing a Megillah, it's going to be, the width of that quill is going to be a lot wider than the width when you're writing a mezuzah, okay? So there's a certain amount, a certain shear to every ayis. For example, the letter Yud is the smallest letter, right? So it's one kulmas, meaning that the stroke that goes across shouldn't be more than one kulmas. I mean, it shouldn't be wider than the width of that quill that you're using. And the same thing is, when you make the foot of the yud, it also has to have one kulmas coming down. So in other words, it's one by one. Most letters, like beis, chaf, is three by three. Meaning a beis has a top, which we call the gag. Okay, it also has the bottom, which we call the meishav. And then it has a yerech, which connects the top to the bottom. Okay, So how wide should that base be? So preferably it should be 3 kulmasin, meaning if you could fit in 3 strokes, okay, across. And the same thing is on the way down. It should be 3 kulmasin, meaning one is for the top, one is for the chalal, the white spot, the empty space, and one is for the maishu. Now, take the letter yud, which is the smallest letter, okay? Which we said is how it has to be 1 kulmas across by 1 kulmas coming down. What happens if a sofer wants to write a vav? A vav obviously is...
A question about the yud. 1 across, 1 down means 1. That's squarish.
Right,
so you have to have additional...
Right, exactly. Okay, so it's 1 by 1, which is the gag itself. But then you have another one coming down, which is the regular.
So it's actually, so it's actually 2 by 1.
Yeah, it's a little shorter than the 2.
So what is that? Right. Those little pieces that they're like half. What are they?
Preferably, it should be as close as possible to 2. Now, tell the reason why we don't do it in Mamish 2 is because I'll explain to you when you get to the letter Vav. The Soif is writing the letter Vav.
You know my
father.
Yes, okay. Of course. Yeah.
Okay. Anyway, what's your first name?
Zarya.
Oh, you're Schleimer. Right?
Yes.
Okay. Remember that from Plainview.
You live in Plainview.
I go back.
Seattle, yeah.
Yeah. Okay, anyway. So, if Soifer is writing the letter Vav, okay, and he makes the Vav very short, okay, if he makes it so short that it looks like a Yud, it's not a shayma, it's out and right puzzle. It's a yud. Then you have the next madrega, that he made the vav a little longer than a yud. Okay? And this is where you get to answer your question. He made it a little longer, now we don't know what this is. Okay, he made it a little longer, maybe it's a short vav. It's a yud. So what do you do in such a case? The halacha is you ask a child who is either 6, 7, or 8. Gemara says it has to be a timid shalai chacham b'lay tibish. Not too smart, not too stupid. It mostly works out with 6, 7, 8 year olds. If it's already older than that, they're too smart. If it's younger than that, then it's a tibish. Okay? That's what Chazal say. It's an interesting thing. Why do you ask a tinnik? I mean, if you have a shiloh and a chicken, you ask a tinnik? Why would Chazal kiveya, when you have a suffix on the length of an ois, you ask a tinnik? So the Maharal says, and this is the Musar Haskell for us all, the Maharal says, if you ask a Gadol, he's going to look at the ice and he's going to start putting his Chachma. Already. It can't be this letter, because look at it, it's next to this letter, and it's too long, so it's got to be this letter. And the Chazal say, that's not what the Rabbi Nishlam wants. The Rabbi Nishlam wants Tamidus. The Rabbi Nishlam wants how a child doesn't have Chachma, so he's going to say the letter as it is, and that's what the Torah means. That's going to make these tefillin and mezuzahs kosher or pasul. You're going to make a bracha because of this child. Sounds like an interesting language.
Are you able to scrape it off something instead of a...
So that now you're getting into the problem of kesidron, which means that by mezuzah and tefillin has a stringency which you don't have by sefer Torah, and that is that you have to write the mezuzah kesedah shenichtav b'Torah. For example, Shema, you have to write shin mem ayin. You can't write ayin mem shin. So the same thing is, let's say a sofer finished writing the whole mezuzah, and he realized that you wrote a vav, which was too long or too short, whatever it is. So to add on, to make it longer, you can't, because you already finished writing the mezuzah. And if it's already pasul, you can't go and fit it in now, because it's shalai kesidah, it's out of order. As far as scraping off, you're getting to another shayla called chok teichas. Anybody know what chok teichas is? Let's say a sofer is writing a samach, okay? And some ink fell in, and now it looks like one big black piece of ink. It doesn't look like a samach, obviously. But let's say I take a blade and I scratch off the inside, and I'm left with a beautiful samach, right? That's pasul midaraisa. Why? Because we learn from a pasul chasavton that the tzuras oisius has to be made through ksiva, through writing, and not through any other means. So I'm creating the letter through scratching. That's chok toiches. That would be pasul. Now there's exceptions to that. For example, one letter cannot touch another letter. Why? Because there's a halacha brought down the Gemara Menachas, kol ois in gevil mukuf lo midal bruch esel psuva, which means every ois has to be surrounded by klaf, a Okay? So let's say a sofer is writing vav, whatever letter it is, and next to there's a hole in the cloth. So the letter is touching the hole. It's not surrounded by cloth. It has to be mukiv gvil. It has to be surrounded by cloth. So you can't do that. The same thing is, if a sofer is writing a letter and it knocks into another letter, so again, it's not mukiv gvil. Now, an ois can be puzzle, even if you have the slightest negiyah ben ois la ois. If you have the slightest touching between one and another, it's puzzle. That doesn't mean it can't be fixed. And the same thing is, for example, there's a halacha of nifsak. What does nifsak mean? A crack. You can have a hairline crack in a letter, if you saw that in any of the pictures over there, but they're hairline cracks. The halacha is that it's puzzle. Why is it puzzle? The Mechaber Paskens, every ois has to be goylom echad. Every ois has to be one complete piece. There's only two exceptions to that. Anybody know which two exceptions? Letter hey and letter kuf. Letter hey has a little nekuda, an upside down yud, and that part is not supposed to be connected to the rest. There it's the opposite, that if that piece is connected to the top or to the side, then it's puzzle. Same thing as ois kuf. Ois kuf also has a little hanging piece, right? It's a small endonym. That piece also has to be separate. It cannot be connected. But aside from hey and kuf, every letter has to be goylom echad, one piece. Mela, the halacha is that if you have a crack in a letter, even if it's kechut ha-sayra, even if it's very small, it's possible. But it's a psul that could be fixed. Meaning, if you have, let's say, a resh, and you have a big chunk of ink that's missing because of age, it popped off. It could happen, okay? It doesn't look like a resh anymore. I can't fill it in anymore. Why? Because since it lost its surah, it doesn't look like a resh anymore. And I already finished writing the mezuzah, so now if I'm going to fill it in, it's shaloi kesidrin, it's out of order, so you can't fix it. And if you have a small, little, tiny crack, so granted that it's puzzle, but still, since it still looks like the letter, I'm allowed to go back and fix it. Why? Because it's not a question of did it lose its formation. It never lost its formation. Everybody knows if you have a small crack in the letter, it still looks like the letter. Everybody knows it's still that letter. Okay? It happens to be a zayitik psul of that the Mechaber Paskens that every ois has to be one piece. And if you have even the slightest crack, that's going to be possible, okay? So when you say hider, let's get back to the ois vav. So we have a few madregas. You can have an ois vav that he made it short, so short that it looks like a yud. Then we said it's not even a question, it's out and right possible. The next madrega is that he made it a little longer, and we don't know what it is. So what do you do then? You ask a tinnik, and a tinnik becomes the rav, okay? So if the tinnik is read it as a vav, then I'm permitted to add on ink and to create the preferable surah so ice. Because since it's kosher as it is, the tinnik read it as it is, so I can really leave it the way it is as far as kosher puzzle. And since it's already kosher, it may not be preferable, I'm allowed to add on ink, and that's not called shalai kesidron. Shalai kesidron is only if I'm recreating the letter. I'm not recreating the letter. The letter is kosher as it is. It's not preferable. So that you're allowed to add on. Okay?
If mezuzah, let's say from Yisrael, the aleph, the top of the aleph is off.
What do you mean off? Not connected?
It's the whole thing
that's
off.
Puzzle.
Puzzle.
That's puzzle.
That's it. There's no way to fix it.
So again, if it's a hairline crack, you can fix it.
The top.
If you look, it's gone.
There's no way to fix it.
It's gone. You look in that picture.
Can you like you scratch it and all the rest of the letters and you're writing it?
You can't. I'll tell you why you can't do it.
It's in order in this case.
Yeah, but you have Shem Hashem. Mezuzah has Shem Hashem, right?
Yeah.
So you can't scratch off Shem Hashem.
Okay, without the Shem Hashem, you can.
So I once, for example, 100%. I once had a cipher in Vayim Shemaya. How do we end up? Kimei Hashemayim al Haaretz. He wrote Kimei Hashemayim al Hashemayim. Okay, made a mistake. So that's easy, because it's mamash all the way at the end of the mezuzah, at the end of the tefillin, Vayim Shemaya, right? So there I could scratch off and rewrite it, okay? A sefer Torah, there's no din of kesidron. So if it makes a mistake, whatever it is, you can just scratch off the ice and rewrite it.
We have a sefer Torah here that has a hole in it. I remember there was a question of how many lines did it come through, so I don't remember what it was.
You mean it was a rip in the cloth?
No, Right, God would fix the cuss.
No, it was a rip in the cloth.
It was a hole, but it covered a few lines. I remember there was something that...
The hole covered a few lines.
A few lines, it was a hole. It rubbed out. There was very thin spot, weak spot, and it rubbed out.
So I put, in a patch?
You put in a patch, and there was a shiver. Before you looked at it, he said, how many lines it cut through.
Right.
Whether or not we have to...
Right, yeah, there are exceptions. There's definitely exceptions, yeah. But generally speaking, if you have a tzuras ha'ois, which is not the seder, it's puzzle, out and right puzzle, you're allowed to scratch off the ois and rewrite it.
You have to just change that whole piece.
Well, I'm saying you don't have to change that whole piece. You can just...
Saying if it was too much, you don't have to...
Right.
It's still be not considered, because you can just change...
Exactly. You take off that urea and you rewrite the urea.
And erase the chemically off, not just scratch it off, right? Huh? Dissolve it with some solvent.
You can do that also, but it's probably easier just to scratch it up. You have the right blade.
Doesn't absorb, is that right?
Okay.
Is that right? It's not absorbed.
I can't hear you.
It's not absorbed into the clock.
It does leave some sort of an impression.
It doesn't like the way, you don't want to weaken the saber tire either. So I was thinking of doing
you're right, it depends on how thick the
cloth is.
You're right. So getting back to the letter Vav, okay, so if the cipher wrote the Vav short, that it's, you don't know what it is, so then that's the second Madrega, and that is called a Shailas Tinnik. You ask for Tinnik, whatever he says, he's the Rav. He could either make it kosher or pasul. Now comes the third madrega, which is that he wrote it long, okay, long enough that it's no longer a shailas tinnik. It's for sure not even a shailas tinnik, but it doesn't quite have the shear that's mentioned in the alpha beso harvi, which is called the alpha beso hakumasin, which is the preferable shear for every ice. It doesn't quite have, no, it's like a vav. Vav is supposed to be one kumas across, and then one down for the height of the gag, and then the rest of the regal is another two, which means you have a total height of three kolmasin by one. That is the preferable shear of a vav. What he did is he made, instead of a full two kolmasin coming down, okay, he made 1 3/4 coming down, okay? It's definitely not a shailas tinnik. But is it mahudr? Something which is brought down to the Shoinim, a certain shear, that's not called Mahudr. Okay? Hidr can take, there's a million examples which you can have, what's called a Mahudr Dika Ois. Just to give you an idea of how detailed Stam goes, where do you know the Tsuras Ois? It's really a three-line Braisa, a four-line Braisa in Shabbos, not in days. And the Gemara says, Uchsaftam, it's a play on the words, Uchsaftam shetehek siva tamma. That when you're writing, it's got to be a complete writing. What does it refer to? So the Braisa lists a whole bunch of oises. Shalyasu alfin ayin. Don't make an aleph look like an ayin. How does an aleph look like an ayin? So Rashi says, because doimin bikriyosan. Right? An aleph and an ayin, they're vocalized, it's coming from the throat. They sound the same. So it's a zahirus that the cipher should be careful when he's writing an aleph. He might come to make a mistake because they sound the same. So therefore the Gebraisa says, don't make an aleph like an ayin. It's a shita's Ramban, it's a shita's Rashba, there's a big machlokes of the Shoinim. Others learn completely different. So I'm not going to get into all the whole lumdas, but there is a lot of dikdukim. But let's go to a very interesting ayin. The Gebraisa says, shleyasu bezin chafin, Chafin Bezin. Then it says Layasu Gamin Sadin, a gimel like a tzadik like a gimel. And a skip by there, it says Layasu Tessin, Pefin, Pefin, Tessin. Don't make a tzadik like a pei and a pei like a tzadik. How in the world does a tess look like a pei? Right? Layasu Tessin, Pefin, Pefin, Tessin. Don't make a tess like a pei like a tess. That means there's got to be some similarity. So the Rishonim explain, if you take a test, visualize a test in front of you, okay? Zogin the Rishonim, she'im tateno al tzido hasmolis. Take this test and tilt it over on its left side, okay? It looks like a pei. How does it look like a pei? Oim mikan oimer Rabbeinu Tam, check it out in that kubbeis over there. Zogin Rabbeinu Tam, on these words, le'yas a test in pefin, that a test, see, a tess is made up of two letters. The left side of the tess is like a zayin, And the right side is either like a chaf, so say it's like a nun, but it swings up like this. Mikan omer Rabbeinu Tam, that it's not enough that it swings up like this, but you have to have a kfifa coming in, coming down. Why? So now I understand what the Rishonim say. If you have a kfifa coming down, now I take this test and I tilt it on the left side. It looks like a pei, because the pei has that nakuda coming in.
The
Rai
says, well, yeah, so you shouldn't do it like this.
So, since the Rai is telling me that there's a similarity, it must be. What's the similarity? Because of this.
What's the Loyasa then?
Meaning that, according to Rabbein Tam, the Bryce is telling me, make sure you make that kfifa. Because if you're not going to make the kfifa, then how in the world does it look one like the other? It must be. That's what you have to learn from according to Rabbein Tam. I hear what's bothering you. But this is the actual, according to Rabbein Tam,
that's... The Bryce is saying, don't make your test in sideways then.
They also don't like that. I'll give you a better one. Zuliyasu Gamin Tzadik. Don't make a gimel like a tzadik. How in the world does the letter gimel look like a tzadik? So, the letter gimel has a top, and it has how many feet in the bottom? Two feet. Letter tzadik has two heads on the top, one on the bottom. So the Rishonim say the same thing. If you're gonna, but they hear they say instead of tilting it on his left side, it says if you would flip the whole thing over, it looks like a gimel could look like a tzadik. So there's the Mishnah Berurah over here. Very interesting Mishnah Berurah. And he said, we learn out two halachas from here. Since it says that you shouldn't do it, so Vayis Tachoy said there is some sort of similarity. The Vayis is telling me two things. Number one, that you have to have Roshoy Av. It means a gimel, okay? The top of the gimel looks like, has a little box. Okay, what does it look like? It looks like a Zion, right? A Zion has a little box, and you have a regal in the middle. The gag sticks out on both sides of that regal, okay? That's called Roshoy Av, okay? As opposed to what? As opposed to just making a straight line without any Rosh, right? If you would have it straight up without any box, okay, then if you were to turn it over, it would look mamish like a tzaddik. Since the Bryce is telling me, Shalayasagam in Sadin, you have to do something to avoid that it shouldn't come to look like a tzaddik. So what do? So you make Roshay Av, and even if you would turn it around, it wouldn't look like a tzaddik. There's one halacha that you learn now, that Roshay Av. And we pass in the halacha that if you have a gimel and doesn't have a Rosh, you just have a line, it's puzzle. Okay? The other thing is raglayim shavos, which means a gimel, like we said, has 2 feet in the bottom. Okay? Those 2 feet should not be equal, meaning one should be longer than the other. And for the same reason, because the flip side, which is the tzaddik, which has the two heads on the top, they're equal. If one would be higher up than the other, okay, then it's no dimyon to the gimel. So from here we learn out two halachas, that the raglayim should not be shavais, okay? Meaning that one side should be longer than the other. Mitzvah halacha, it doesn't make a difference which one should be longer than the other. The levush brings down al pisoid that the right side should be longer than the left side. But in halacha, what's important is that it should not be raglayim shavais. And the other thing is that the roish should have an actual av. It should actually have a head as opposed to making it thin. So, you know, when it comes to hidurim, you can go on and on in terms of...
These are halachas, right?
And what I say is diktik and halacha. Diktik and halacha means like the shiurim, right? So you can have an ois which is still kosher l'chatzilo. It's not a shayla's tinnik, but it's still missing that prat, that shear that the Chazal told us. I'll give you another example. Talk about the letter Vav. The letter Vav is supposed to be, besides the shear, it's supposed to be round on the top. Why does it have to be round? Why can't you make it square? Mitzad Aloch, if you have a square Vav, it's 100% kosher l'chatchilo. So why do you have to make it round? Chazal say to make it round. It's a zehirus. What's a zehirus? Maybe we're going to make it square, the next guy's going to make it really pointy, and it may stick out a little bit to the right. And a tinnik, now it's going to be ma'or reshaila, maybe it looks like a zion, because a zion sticks out. So in order, you shouldn't come to that. So Chazal warned us, make sure that you make it round. Let's see, a sofer wrote above, and he wrote it with the right shear, and he didn't make, like, you know, you can have a vav, and the guy makes the reish very, very wide, it's a shayla of a reish, right? So he didn't do that. He made it the proper shear, and he made the length the proper shear, but he made it perfectly square, 90 degree angle. So that's 100% called shalchatchila, but is it mehoder? It's not mehoder. Right, it's felt and hidden. You can't call this mezuzah, this tefillin, mehoder. So the question is like this: why wouldn't the sofer write mehoder?
When you check it, do you find these a lot?
Oh, that's what I'm going to lead to. Basically, the nature of this business, okay, sofer, is that you have two types of sofer. You have your beinoni sofer, average sofer, and like anything in average, you have the higher end of beinoni, the lower end of beinoni. But the bottom line is that he is not so talented to write a beautiful ksiva. He just doesn't have it in him, okay? And therefore, on the market, he can only fetch X amount of money for his mezuzah. So how is this guy going to make a parnasa? So the answer is speed, okay? He's got to write X amount of mezuzahs and X amount of time, otherwise he's just not making it. So the job comes to me. I'm the Baal Magia, right? Did this sofer write, sends me 20 mezuzahs at a time, 40 mezuzahs at a time, before I sell it to you, I have to go through the mezuzah, and it's almost impossible that I don't find a mistake. Because the guy's rushing. Sometimes I find, you know, the Gemara says that the letters Shatnez gets, Shin, Ayin, Tes, Nun, Zayin, Gimel, Tzadik, has to have what? Three tagim, three crowns. Is it tag ma'akev? Tag is not ma'akev.
Can you fix it after?
You can fix it after. Even if you wrote the whole mezuzah, you can fix it afterwards. But chalila for a sofer to miss out on a tag. Why? The Gemara says, Rabbi Akiva ha-yadayir shal-kol tag v'tag, tilin shal-alochas. He expounded on every tag, tilin shal-halochas. What's a til? It's a mountain. He expounded mountains of halochas from a tag. So chalila for a sofer to miss that. No, don't take it lightly. It may not be part of the Tzura Sa'ois. And yes, if you wrote the mezuzah, the whole mezuzah, and you didn't put any tagging on, you're allowed to fix it and put it on later. But chalila, to take it lightly, it's a very important thing to tagging. I'll tell you, Achumetik Shita, which we don't paskin like that, but the Magen Avraham brings a Shita from the Ramami Tano, and he says that if you have a tag and it's not connected, it could happen, it disconnects from A. You know, it gets dried, the ink can get brittle, and it disconnects. He says the mezuzah is puzzle. Why is it puzzle? Because it is considered like a oisa yeter. We know there's such a thing as chaser and yeter. If you missed one letter, or if you added an extra letter, the whole mezuzah is puzzle. So the Ramami Pano says if you have a tag which was connected to the letter, and now it's disconnected, so you've got an extra letter floating around. That's oisa yeter, and it passes the whole mezuzah. Now, I want to bring a raya from this Ramami Pano to the sheet of the Rambam. The Mishneh Berurah says, how do you make tagin? So the Mishneh Berurah brings in one place that the Medina Seino, in our Medinas, the way we make tagin is we make kavin. Kavin means lines. You just make three lines. The Rambam says that each tag should look ke'ein zayin. Why? Because the Gemara calls it ziyunin. The Gemara in the Shas in a few places calls the tagin a lashon of ziyunin, crowns. Ziyunin ke'ein zayin. So the Rambam says every tag should look like a zayin. So what does that mean? It's not enough just to make a line, but you make a line with a little ball on top. So you have three of those. Now it looks ke'ein zayin. So since the Ramami Pano says if you have a disconnected tag, it looks like a ois hayeter, so it's a raya to the Rambam, he's supposed to have ke'ein zayin, because you only have a little line, how does it look on an ois? The line is on an ois, right? But that's just an agav.
If there's an extra letter, can you erase the letter? That's really all the problem.
So, I don't know, according to the Ramami Panov, he's so machmir that it's ois hayeter, it should be. It may be a problem of chaktayfas. Maybe I'm not sure.
Yeah,
I don't know.
Doesn't look like.
Yeah, I mean, the mice we don't pass them like that.
We have, we do paskin, there's an extra letter.
No, I know, we don't paskin with the Rami Pana if you have a disconnected
right, path. Yeah, I wasn't talking about that. I was talking about the extra letter. Can you just erase the extra letter?
Oh,
that's so, only going to the other problem.
That's something else. That gets complicated. It depends if you're going to take off this letter, now you're going to create a big gap in the ois itself. Okay, so you can't have a gap in the middle.
I mean, the word looks like two words.
Right. That's a separate
problem. That's also possible.
But sometimes you're able to stretch out, to add a little ink without being mishaneh the tzuras ois, and you can fill it in. So sometimes there are examples that it could work, and sometimes that's the end of it. You can't do it. So as far as hidurim, you know, it goes on and on. There's another very important nekuda, and that is, you know, when the sefer, you know, when you're buying a pair of tefillin, you're buying a mezuzah, you know, the olam has to know, it's not like you're walking into a grocery store and you're buying a sack of potatoes. You're going to find, you know, one of the potatoes is rotten. It's fine, you'll take it anyway, right? When you're buying tefillin mezuzahs, so the most important thing is that the sefer who is writing it has to be Yerushalayim. If he's not a Yerushalayim, you know, you have to realize, I mean, a sefer is writing a pair of tefillin, it takes him, let's say, 20 hours to write, or a top sefer could take him 40, 50 hours to write. He put in all that work, okay, and then he realized he missed a letter. So he got an assignment, right? If he's a top sefer and he can fetch $1,000, $1,500, $2,000 for his parshias, so, you know, if he's not an Erlich Yid, so he's just going to fix it up. But he can't fix it up because that's Bein Noel and Bein, it's between him and the Rebbeinu Shalom. So there's an assignment. You got to be Yerushalayim. If you're not Yerushalayim, there's nothing to talk about. Now, on the other hand, you can have a sefer who is a Yerushalayim, but a Kenner de Malacha. You know, the famous story with the Satmar Rebbe. Satmar Rebbe was a Moyel. Satmar Rebbe was a Sadik. And there was a Moyel there, and his Moyel was like, his hands were shaking. And the Satmar Rebbe tells him, Ich weiß, Ich bin auch et am Moyel. He says, oh, well, the Rebbe is on the Moyel. Let the Rebbe be the Moyel. He says, Ich bin am Moyel, ob ich kennischt. You know what that means?
He's a Moyel, but he can't.
It means that he knows how to do Mila, but he's not good at it.
Oh, okay.
Okay, so in other words, he meant to say to the guy, you know, Abdikensnish, if you can't, like maybe look for a different profession. And I remember in Lakewood, Rav Shneur Kotler Zatzal, they had a Baal Tekeya for years. And he was a Yerushalayim, that the Olam knew that he was a very Erlich Yid. But as far as blowing the tekiyas, it was like shvach ha'maisis. So some people had complaints, you know, that tekiyas were not going the way they should. So it was after Rosh Hashanah with Tzum Gedalia once, and somebody met Rav Shneur in the hallway, and he wanted to ask him something. So Rav Shneur says, "Ich hanish kin tzeit, I don't have time. Ich eilzach, I'm rushing. Wie geht der Rosh Hashiva?" He says, "I have an appointment in Manhattan, a specialist, an eye specialist. Why does the Rosh Hashiva have to go to Manhattan? We have here in Lakewood, we have an eye doctor. Everybody knows him. He's a good doctor." He says, "Yeah, but Yenner is a specialist." He says, "Yeah, but this guy's Yerushalayim." So I don't know if it worked or not. But the point is, you know, the Aleph base is that the sefer has to be Yerushalayim. But equally as important is that you have to know what he's doing. Okay. There's the cloth. You have to pick out the right type of cloth. There is the dyoi, okay? And really the sign of a sefer who's a mumcha is that when he's at the beginning of the line, he already has everything, you know, in his mind set up. He knows exactly where each ois is going to end up. Because if he's off by a millimeter, what's going to happen is that sometimes the lamed might be going into the airspace of a resh, and then you create maybe a shayla of a hay, right? So he's got to be so eisgechazen, you know, and that's the difference between somebody who's as a mumcha and he's not a mumcha, you understand?
Or someone has space.
Sorry?
I'm interested in the size of the beginning and
the size
of the line.
Of course.
Not a mumcha or not, if there's plenty of space, right. You're not going to leave the space.
Is that the same layout nowadays? It's always, you know, the lines are the same.
It's all handwritten.
Right. But They see what...
Right, but you know, when you start writing once, you'll see, it's not as easy as you think, okay? When you start writing, you can be off by a millimeter and then it throws everything else off. So it makes a big nafkamina, you know, in the Tzuras Ois. As far as batim, I just want to be a few things that, you know, before I get to batim. How much time do we have?
What did you want?
You tell me to leave, I'll leave. But anyway, this I want to tell you. Over the years, I've checked a lot of, I've gone to people's houses and they ask me to do house calls. And I say, like, in the Dvarim Truth, people are not aware. Any place in the house which has a Tzuras HaPesach, okay, a Tzuras HaPesach means that you have two doorposts, and more important, or equally as important, you have to have mashkef, something actually coming down. Some of the new houses that they make today, they have these beautiful houses. You know, it could be 6,000 square foot houses, and all they need is 3 mezuzahs for the whole house. Why is that? Because they make these openings, which has 2 doorposts, but there's a straight ceiling. So, the halacha is.
I have a doorpost and a mashkef with no doorpost.
No doorpost at all?
1 doorpost.
Oh, so that's a difference.
Depends on the left.
Right. So, in other words, if you only have a 1 doorpost, if that doorpost is on the right side, the normal way of going, if it's on the right, even though you have nothing on the left, you still need a mezuzah. On the other hand, if it's the opposite, meaning that on the right side you have a straight wall, it keeps on going, and you only have 1 doorpost on the left, then it does not need a mezuzah.
I have a mezuzah.
What's that?
I have a mezuzah.
You have
the Shiloh.
Yeah.
And the Rav told me I need one, not this Rav, a different Rav. And then he was in my house for other 2 places. He goes, why do you have a mezuzah here?
Right.
Because I asked you, you told me to put one. He goes, I didn't listen to your question. Mezuzah's still there.
Okay. You know, Chazal says, Yerushalmi, it says, Kol ha-potem min ha-dover ve-yisehu nikri hedyet. You know, I don't, no, another person.
I'm fine with it.
Huh?
Still there, I never took it down.
I hear.
I don't know.
I mean, there's no question. When you have a chalukah deis,
don't check it.
And then you want to be
machmir. There's a sheet, I think I saw. I'm trying to remember the size. Grad saw 2 weeks ago.
There's a day that holds in that case that you would need, yeah?
Okay, there's one. We don't pass it that way.
Okay,
but it
could be. I hear. Another example is, this is very, very common, walk-in closets. Okay? So how big does the closet have to be in order to be chayv in a mezuzah? So the Mechaber paskens that the shear of a room, besides it has to have, you know, the 2 doorposts and the mashkev, it has to have dalet amos, 4 amos. 4 amos comes out, 4 by 4, it comes out to 49 square feet. So if you have 49 square feet, it's not a shaila, you simply have to put a mezuzah. The question is, if it's a little bit less than that, but it's actually made to walk in and turn around and come around. So there are chalukah deis. The Pesach Tshuva brings from the Chabud of Daniel. It says even if it's less than dalet amos by dalet amos, as long as you use it for hishtamshus, you should put it. According to that Chabud of Daniel, it would come out that any closet would need a mezuzah, right? Because every closet is used for hishtamshus.
Walk-in closet.
What's that?
And that should be a walk-in closet.
Oh, so l'maisa, we pass in the halacha that the whole, if you want to be machmir. Again, we're talking about a walk-in closet that doesn't quite have the shear of dalet amos by dalet amos, but it is made to walk in, turn around, okay? So there is a Rabbi Kiva Eger. Kiva Eger says that in this case, like let's say a master bedroom has a walk-in closet, you should not put it on the right side going into the walk-in closet, but rather on the right side when you're walking out of the closet. In other words, the small cheder, the small room, the closet, becomes bottled to the big room. And the chashuv room is the big room. And you have to put it on the right side going that way. So most of the paiskim say that mikra hadin, if it doesn't have dalet amos by dalet amos, you're potter from the mezuzah. If you want to be machmer, then afkamina is whether you should make a bracha. So if you want to be machmer, then you don't have to make a bracha. But mikra hadin does not need a mezuzah. Sheds. Very often you have a shed. Any place which is a base of oitzer, okay, you store things there, it's your hishtamshus, you know, just like you want to be protected, yourself, then your hishtamshus has to be protected also. You need a mezuzah. It's a shaila if a beis ha'oitzer is a deraisa or a derabon. But lamaisa, even a shed, you keep your bikes there, you keep whatever it is,
Pesach. Does it make a difference, a garage, the width of the door, or a garage?
Well, I mean, the doorway, again, has to be at least 10 tefachim high, and it's got to be...
The fact that if it's over a certain width, does it lose it?
No. You have a Tzuras HaPesach, and you use it for your shtamshus again, if it's made to walk in, and certainly if it has, the shed is big enough that it has dalet amos with dalet amos, you should certainly put in the... Anybody have any questions? I guess we can call it a night.
Yeah. Can you use something other than a quilt, like an ordinary pen?
What kind of meat?
So there are pans, they call them rapidographs. Some of them are not to use it because Chazal say that you use a, the Gemara says use a kana. Kana means a reed. Why do you use a reed? Because a kana is weak. It's flexible. And it shows that a person should be flexible. Okay, so that's
like a more of a chumra than a halacha.
But others in the halacha, if it's metal mamish, so there's two in yonah maybe not using metal. Number one, if it has a very sharp tip, then it could scratch. So you might come, it's a vaitek shash, but you might come to a chag kodesh. So if it's not, if it's nothing that scratches, then ikra, then no problem. Okay? Sfardim use actually bamboo. A very thin bamboo stick.
There's nothing special about feathers.
Right, right. There are those that use a feather as opposed to a bamboo because it's soft. And the Chazal say that Chal Yisrael is compared to a soft reed because it's flexible. So there's an inyan in that, it's not an akit.
And as for ink, what?
As far as ink, the halacha, it's got to be, number one, very black. If it's gray, it's not the seder. Number two, it's got to be dover ha'imim. Meaning that if today it's going to be black, 3 months from now it's going to turn gray, that's not dover ha'imim. It has to stay black. Okay? And for Shteitzah, the most important thing is it has to be not made from a dover tameh. We learn out from the pasuk l'man tiyah teres Hashem b'ficha, that it means hamutah b'ficha. Anything you use in stam has to be something which you could put into your mouth. If it's something that comes from a pig, comes from a tameh animal, then you cannot use it. So if it has those three ingredients, it's kosher, it's min hamutah b'ficha, number two is that it's jet black, and number three, it's a dover ha'oimed, it's going to remain black, then you're good to go. There are those that are machma that has to be done lishma, and many places say that lishma is not ma'akev, according to the Rambam.
So the ink you're referring to?
The ink, yeah.
Has to be made lishma?
There are those that want to say it should be made lishma.
Most of the feathers used are from chum. Turkeys.
What?
Most of the feathers are from turkeys, so.
Yeah, turkey feathers.
Can't use any of your chicken feathers from that next week.
Who said only any chicken?
Oh, maybe that's
the feast. That's the story. Are you nervous?